Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
On Friday, this report came from a nonprofit group called the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Their name is FIRE. And what they do is they actually interview college students. Now, this is not a small sampling size. This is 55,000 students. That's pretty enormous sample size. And what they did was they polled them about their experiences on campuses, on free speech policies, and they sought information asking if students felt that they felt able and safe to speak their mind, their personal beliefs and thoughts on various topics, or if they feared being canceled or they felt that their speech was restricted for particular points of view. This was across the board. Conservative colleges, liberal colleges, all the way across the board. Now, ironically, here's the troubling thing. Harvard, which is considered the gold standard in so many areas, their grade was reported as a zero. They had a zero score, but in actuality, it was like negative 10.75. And here's why. They currently have nine professors and researchers who are facing calls for their dismissal because they have reported or they have come to conclusions or they have written or said things not according to the predominant university view, which is ironic in a liberal arts university where multiple views are allowed to be shared and debated upon their merit. This was set. Seven of those professors and researchers are facing professional discipline for not falling in line with a current ideological stance. Now, several years ago, at the church, we gathered together and we watched a documentary called by Ben Stein. If those of you who remember Ferris Bueller's Day Off, remember the Bueller, that's Ben Stein. Not only is he an actor, but he is actually an extremely intelligent individual. Anyway, Ben Stein put forth a documentary called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. And in this documentary, they interviewed various professors at some of the top universities in some cutting areas of science, of astronomy, of microbiology. And they shared, they had a view of intelligent design. Now, that's not pressing necessarily the biblical narrative, but they said there is intelligent design. And because of their beliefs of just simply that the world has a design, that there is some intelligent force that created the universe and we see an order in them, they felt discriminated in their academic careers, discriminated against. And so in this FIRE repost, many students in the study reported having self-censored multiple times a day for fear of retribution of speaking their minds that might not go along with the predominant campus ideology. So what does this have to do with what we have been discussing? We've been, again, in the book of Daniel. And we see Daniel and three of his friends are among a group of young Jewish individuals of promise and potential who were removed from their culture as Babylon conquered Jerusalem, and they were taken into Babylon. And this morning, my intent is to glean some strategies and some wisdom as we look at their experiences on how we, as followers of Christ, can stand and not just survive, but we can stand in the midst of an ungodly culture around us. So Daniel chapter 1, let's revisit where we left off last week. Daniel chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. And among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them the names. To Daniel, he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah, he called Shadrach. Mishael, he called Meshach. And Azariah, he called Abednego. Last week we talked about that their names reflected something about the character of the Hebrew God that they worshipped. In fact, we broke down that we can see the name of God in all of their Hebrew names. And these were so offensive to the surrounding culture that they had to be twisted. They had to be changed. This was done partially in an effort. This is a common practice. A common practice of Babylonian captives, that they would want them to forget who they were and adopt the current Babylonian culture. So these new names had a correlation to Babylonian gods. And again, you have to go visit what we talked about last week to see what those names meant. In other words, their names were twisted. God was removed because it was offensive to the Chaldean culture. Now, I hope it doesn't take long for us to understand that resonates with so much of what we find happening. Today, Christians are being given the worst stereotypes and generalizations. Now, I have to, in the spirit of honesty, I will grant that there have been some bad actors. I will grant that many people who call themselves followers of Christ, in fact, have acted poorly, as Kathy referenced. We have plenty of examples of individuals who have not followed in the manner and the way that Jesus has instructed us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. There, I will grant that there have been Christians and there are Christians who claim to follow God, but violate that code of conduct, which is so important. And unfortunately, those examples are what get broadcast. They become themes of Taylor Swift songs. They become the ridiculous bad stereotype that we see. If we as Christians oppose what the cultural slide of the day is, we are assumed that our perspective is one of hate, of bigotry, and of ignorance, when actually a biblical worldview advocates the opposite, standing in love. Love is not lying to somebody, nor is it misrepresenting God's eternal truth. No. It's reaching out in compassion, in care, and in consistency to God's eternal truth. So what have we seen from Shadrach, from Meshach, and from Abednego, actually, for I like to call them by the Hebrew names, from Hananiah, from Mishael, and from Azariah, and from Daniel? What do we see? Well, there's a tremendous thing that we can learn. And the first thing that I have for you today, I want to encourage you, is that we need to stand firm even when we're being mislabeled. Even when we're being mislabeled, it's important that we stand firm. Daniel and his friends, I love that we don't see that they got in some raging debate with people who didn't fully understand them. But rather, they knew who they were in God despite whatever labels are assigned. Now I get it. It's difficult when people speak ill of you. It's difficult when people assume the worst of you. And I gotta tell you, in my experience, I have lived this, I have walked this out in multiple seasons in my life today. Does it happen to us today? Absolutely. I regularly get assigned a hateful rhetoric or a hateful attribute if I support a biblical definition of marriage and sexuality, which I do. I get labeled out of touch, homophobic, or a legalistic hater. The truth is, no, that God called me to love people, not to be judgmental, but to speak the truth in love, not to lie and twist what God's word says simply to make people happy or comfortable, but rather to reach out with them, because God's motivation is love. We can see it in the most famous verse that we all know, for God so loved who? Well, Hebrew, you guys all know, you know, I love in Romans. I love in Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Does that sound like God's motivation to people who are engaged in sin? Is hate or love? It's love. So church family, look, I get it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If I believe that the origin of life, I get in this debate all the time. I believe, not just because that I went to a Sunday school class a couple of times, because I didn't. I wasn't always raised in the church. I came in and out because we had so much drama in our life. I was raised in a scientific background. My father was a chemist. Everything was a scientific method. And yet, in my pursuit, as I did, and I'm not claiming to be a scientist or a biologist, so yes, I will grant that I have a layman's level of hard sciences, but what I do have, and the individuals whom I do read, who are heavy hitters in microbiology and astrophysics, Stephen Myers, I can go down the whole list, Michael Behe, these are hard hitter, hard science people, all point that there is an order to this universe around us. Oh, we just happened to live in the Goldilocks zone. Oh, it just happened that a couple of amino acids slammed together and found the first protein, and then billions of years later, we can design computers. No, I reject the chance that consciousness is random. No matter how many times I take all the parts of a laptop and throw them up in the air, they don't just come together perfectly. Those of you who ever like, if you like hard science, I encourage you to read the work of Michael Behe, who introduces the concept of irreducible complexity in micro machines. In other words, there are cells that come together that function in a way that has a design. The blueprint in DNA that tells cells what to do has an order. It has a plan. Where did this come from? I loved that I was digging through here. We had some meetings, and I was trying to find some old blueprints, and I was going through an old file cabinet, and I found stashed in the very back underneath those stairs, underneath about 4 inches of dust and spiders and all kinds of fun stuff, I pulled out the blueprints for that old building. It didn't just randomly happen. There was a thought, there was a plan, there was an intent. And when I look at my life, my body, my thought, all of these things, it's not random, it is purposed. And so, if I believe that, I was ridiculed at a Christian college for holding that thought. How in the world did that happen? At a Christian university doing my undergrad, I was constantly made fun of because I believed that God created the world. Not even to try to debate timelines and Genesis. No, not to debate those things. Just simply the belief that the universe was created with order. No. Instead, I was supposed to believe that there was nothing, and then there was a big bang, and then there was everything. So I suspended the laws of physics, the laws of nature, the laws of natural order, so that I could get a bang. Which, where did that come from? No one can answer that. And it's no longer presumed as theoretical. It is taught as fact. It is a theory. Okay, science people don't want to hear this anymore, so I'm not going to get off there. I'm just telling you, I have been called a science denier. I've been called unenlightened. I get the eye rolls. I get that the world's perception, it just messes with me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asked you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, let's read verse 16 together, gang. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it's better to suffer for doing good than it should be for God's will than for doing evil. Let me sum up that verse. Quit being a jerk. I mean, I do. There's a club, Jerks for Jesus. It's 90% of the church at times. We act just like the rest of the world. I was on a pastor's study on Thursdays. I spend my Thursday afternoon with a study group with pastors throughout the country, and we, you know, kind of go through some different thoughts of the day and theological issues of the day. And we came across that there is you see what happens in social media in the world, where it's just like throwing a raw piece of meat in a shark tank, and everybody goes after everybody. The church is no different. There's an individual who reached out and said, you know what, we've done a horrible job focusing on one particular sin, and we need to rethink that. We need to reach out to a community in the United States that has been, you know, just cast aside. We need to reach out to these individuals. And immediately, it was like 50 different social media people who just took them. Well, now they're saying this, and just said all kinds of horrible, hurtful things, and took little clips of the message and took them out of context. And I'm like, what happened to any of this? What happened to love and integrity? What happened to this walking in a way with respect, with gentleness? We are supposed to stand. Now, on the flip side, we do not just give up. We are called to stand. Far too many Christians are just capitulating to this cultural slide and saying, to be loving means that we just can't say that wrong is wrong. No, there are eternal truths. There are eternal rights and wrongs. And gang, what I'm trying to tell you is this, is we don't get to define them. We do not get to say, when people come in, inevitably, people come and say, look, what's your take on, and fill in the blank, what's your take on whatever thing of the day is? And my response, I try to always give the same response. It doesn't matter what I think. Let's see what God thinks. My opinion is just that. My opinion, it won't get you anywhere. But God's opinion will lead you to himself. The world's perception of me should be less important to me than God's. The world's perception. Well, so many of us, we are worried about what the world thinks of us and less worried about what God says about us. The fact of the matter is, church family, the world may mislabel you. The world may misunderstand you. There is only one person that I should set my life to please, right? Who is that? My wife. No. No, it should be. I just pointed at you, Roger. That was awkward. You moved on me. I thought you were over a little farther there. Much better. No, there is. There's only one person who we should believe. Happy wife, happy life. There we go. There's only one. We should raise that up. God, sadly, that's where it gets muddy. I get it. It's no fun to be the outcast. It is not fun to be the outcast. I feel like I live my life there. It's not fun. But what I've learned is don't run and hide from it. Be consistent. When people are jerks, doesn't mean you have to. It doesn't mean you have to be the same. You see, here's what I learned from Daniel. Daniel just didn't hop on Facebook and decide, oh, okay, yeah, they didn't have Facebook, but you understand. His response was in respect and integrity, and he stood. Daniel stood with respect and character, and he let God handle the rest. Wouldn't that be a great way to live our lives? Point number two, stand firm when others compromise. Now, here's what we sometimes don't understand about this verse. Verse 1:8, Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food and with the wine that he drank. Now, the big question is to why? The why was because this was this food, this Babylonian food was not according to the Jewish customs. The Jewish customs had dietary laws. In the laws of Moses, there were dietary laws, and this was not according. These were not kosher things, okay? So what did Daniel do? Here's what we forget in this book. We assume that it was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So it was four Jewish people taken into captivity, and then a whole bunch of other people. That's not correct. It was four amongst many. And yes, there were probably some other cultures in captivity as well. So Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, and the other one whose name is escaping me now, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and Daniel. There was more than just those four who were followers of Yahweh who are in captivity. And yet we hear of these four who stood. In other words, there were some of the Hebrew slaves who took part. What's the point? I'd love to say that every person who I started off on this journey of faith with has continued. I'd love to say that I didn't have pastor friends who have not compromised. I'd love to say that there were people who I've walked this walk of faith with who have not walked away. I love to say that there were people who I was not in the trenches with who have compromised, but I would be lying. So what do we do when compromise hits? You know what the sad thing to do, the emotional thing to do is to get mad at God and say, well, I'm throwing the towel in as well. Come on, you know that's right. Someone else falls. You know, I hear that all the time. I'll talk to people and I'll say, hey, you know, if they're not following Christ, we'll begin to have a gospel-centered conversation. Like, I am not going to church. Why? The church is full of hypocrites. So you're letting someone else's stance affect you? Well, that's just plain stupid. Right? Well, what sense does that make? Someone falls, therefore I'll fall. I mean, it's not logical. It's not right. But I get it. It's hard. You know, we read that this group was compromised of captives from Jerusalem. And so these others adopted and defiled their diet with that the culture forced upon them. Only the few who were with Daniel stood. Others need, here's what I want you to know. Others need to see you stand so that they will be encouraged to stand. Who in this room is going to be that Daniel figure when all the rest of the world compromises that you're going to stand? I'd love to say that I was perfect on that round, but I certainly am not. But I do strive. I don't always live up to that mark, but I try. And I'm going to tell you, this can be a lonely and a solitary place. It is lonely to make that decision. And this is a difficult, ongoing journey. And this is filled with daily choices that are opportunities. I've lost track of how many people near me have compromised and adopted the attractive standard that is not God's, but rather one of comfort. Here's a really troubling statistic. So last month, the Research Council Center for Biblical Worldview, that's a fun name to a place to work for, they released their survey on adult churchgoers on social issues and worldview. This was released last month. Here's the troubling conclusion. Again, the Bible is pretty clear that we are all created in the image of God. Adult churchgoers, statistically, 1 in 6 have either paid for or encouraged an abortion. David Cawson, the director of this Faith Research Council Center for Biblical Worldview, wrote an op-ed this week in the survey on those findings. And he said, look, there's an ongoing need for instruction in a biblical worldview, particularly upon the value of human life. Now, I get it. Now, I want you to understand that we are all imperfect people and that if you have sinned, what we do is we come forward and God meets us where we are. He offers us cleansing and we can move forward. Okay? God is a restorative God. But what we have to do is do a better job of teaching what Scripture in fact teaches about things. Why, as Kathy said this morning, this whole series is about understanding that your faith is going to be challenged, and we need to not just be emotional, to not just have some surface level understanding. We need to get an intellectual understanding of our faith, because it will be challenged in our society today. And so any person here today, no matter what, I want no person, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Remember how we started this series out? We are imperfect people. And it's the God's kindness leads us to repentance. We see time after time, Jesus encounter people who are broken, who are hurt, who have messed up, and he encounters them, and he offers them grace, and he offers them hope. And then he gives them this understanding that they can walk in relationship and fellowship with him, and that God's ways are better. I have come, you may have life, and you may have it more abundantly. You see, we have to choose to either go with the culture or choose to stand. And so in the Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, let's all read this together. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the declaration. That's that declaration that I think was even resonant in the heart of Daniel. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that is so important, to know who you are in Christ and to resolve not to defile yourself, even when those around you have a steady diet of compromise. Now let's go on to my last point today. Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 16. Let me read this for you real quickly. Therefore, he asked the chief, this is Daniel, asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. This is a powerful thing. When we stand, when we make the choice to stand for God, it's not a guarantee that there's not a fiery furnace in our destiny. It's not a guarantee that we're not going to go through hard times, but he will be. What we're going to find out is he will be there with us, and often he will give us favor. He will move on our behalf. It says, and to the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear the Lord my king, who assigned your food and your drink, and why should I? He see that you are in worse condition than the youths who are around you of your own age. So why would you endanger my head with the king? Verse 11, then Daniel said to the steward of whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to him in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in the flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. See, Daniel was two things. He was respectful and submissive. He didn't manipulate the system. He didn't lie. He didn't deceive. He didn't try to work it out. He didn't try to pull a fast one. How many of you guys, you're constantly trying to pull a fast one on the system? Oh, Christians don't ever do that. Yeah, sure they don't. I'm sorry, officer. I was on my way to a prayer meeting. Yeah. Third point, stand firm when your faith is tested. Well, I don't want my faith to be tested. It's going to be. What do you do in the midst of testing? Don't run from the test. Run to it. What we found out is when you walk in integrity, here's what happens. God opens the doors that God wants to be opened. When we choose not to defile ourselves, that means that, does not mean that we're automatically sprung from captivity. Daniel acted in integrity. And too many of us try to remove God from the equation. We try to win the argument. We try to prove our point. We try to move the game pieces around so as to make opportunity for ourselves to limit and our limited perspective. And yet Daniel was in it for the long haul. So don't try to force open doors that you assume God would have opened to you. Anybody do that? How many of you like to do God's job for him? Come on, church. After all, we know so much better. Let me just give you a little glimpse into my life. God's way and pathway for me is often not what I would choose. And every time, and I mean every time, when I have submitted to the way that he took me, which was sometimes more difficult than what I would have chosen, it ends up him being glorified. It's the better way. Godly character invites God's favor. I like how he says this, test your servant for 10 days. He's inviting the test. He's inviting that to happen. Are we willing? You know, we need to be willing to for God to use us how he see fits. Proverbs 3, 1 through 8 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them upon the tables of your heart. And you will find favor and win good success in the sight of God and man. And then here, that's the setup to this verse we all know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. Verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I love how Daniel stood firm, not just when his faith was tested, but he invited the tests to come. And so the question for us in conclusion today are we willing to be a part of God's plan other than the author? Many of us are happy to do God's plan as long as we get to write it. And I would just like to ask you today, are you willing to not be the author, but to be an active participant? Are you willing to stand in integrity in the midst of a culture of compromise?
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.